Hey, 4Play listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. 4Play, presented by Barstool Sports. We are back, and we have the entire squadron today. It's a Monday as we are recording. Big week. Rory McIlroy won for what feels like the first time in a very long time, just because he's so raw and honest and out there. And he was crying at the Ryder Cup, you know, a few weeks ago. And then all of a sudden he's winning and he's lovable the whole time. Yet it feels like he's going through stuff. And then he just wins. And now everyone's like, who's he? Who's his coach? Was he? What about these comments about I just need to be who I am? And all the good stuff that comes with Rory McIlroy came yesterday pretty much in the best fashion despite the fact that we couldn't even watch it. So I think we're probably going to get into that not a single minute of the golf coverage could be viewable until 5 p.m. Eastern. And then even then, you couldn't really watch it because they were showing the Champions Tour playoff and they were doing split screens. And it was a complete shit show of a day, which we're going to get into again. But gentlemen, hello. How are we doing? How are we feeling? How excited are we about Rory? And what's up? How are you guys?
I feel great. I'm doing well. And I'm very excited that Rory McIlroy won again. I mean, I know I've talked a lot on this podcast about maybe being the number one Rory fan on the show. I think that I am. And, you know, it's interesting to hear him say, his comments afterwards were fascinating. Him just saying that, like, I'm Rory McIlroy, basically. I don't need to be tweaking my swing or chasing distance like he talked about at the Players. Him just basically starting to understand what we have all been saying about him since he burst on the scene all those years ago, being like, he's the most raw, talented guy since Tiger. I think there's no doubt about that. Maybe there can be some arguments made, but I think Rory is the number one guy in terms of talent on a golf course. And we've been telling him that for over a decade now. And it weirdly sounds like he's just starting to figure that out, which is really interesting. And if it works, like it clearly worked at the CJ Cup this weekend where he's like, I'm Rory McIlroy and I have all the talent in the world. And then he just wins. Like, I hope that this is the start of a new era for Rory, where he is just like, my game is good enough to win every single week. I don't have to do anything but be myself. That'd be amazing if this is the start of a new Rory McIlroy.
Do you think Rory and Spieth are in a league of their own outside of Tiger Phil of just the most fascinating players in golf, the biggest draws, putting asses in the seats, the guys that'll make you flip the channel and you have to watch golf? Do you think those two are in a league of their own? Because I do. I think even yes. though they're not necessarily number one or number two, and JT is definitely up there, and Rahm, sure, but I don't think Rahm, JT, DJ, Morikawa, I don't think they have the pure intrigue, the I have to flip on TV and watch these guys play golf like Rory and Jordan Spieth do.
Bryson's no at way. That level, I think.
Ooh, I still say no on that.
Maybe it's for different reasons, but you turn on the channel when Bryson's leading a golf tournament. It yeah. takes over social okay. media in a way, and also Patrick yeah. Reed, right? Patrick Reed, for other reasons, when he's doing something, everyone's like, holy fuck, here we go. What's he going to do in this celebration? What's he going to say? What's he going to say when he gets interviewed? Like, those guys are at – obviously, I'm going to take Patrick Reed out of that. He gets that style of – he gets that reaction when he's doing something horrible. Bryson right. DeChambeau
right.
gets that reaction.
Right, I was going to say, when he fluffed his lie and yes. everyone's like, oh, Henny's leading the tournament, I got to see this shit.
Yes.
Sure.
Which but happens, I guess, like 80% of the time.
I think there's something
you see a screenshot of a leaderboard and you see a Rory or a Spieth there, I just think you're like, oh, I got to fucking see this.
Yeah.
Does part of that have to do with the quote-unquote drought that each of them have had over the course of their career? Because, like, we saw the flashes of Rory, obviously, and Jordan Spieth early on. And then there was just sort of that Rory's been consistently, like, okay through most of it. Spieth fell off for a couple of years. But, like, there's something about watching someone that you know has that level of talent and isn't always able to harness it. But then when they can harness it, it feels like a different thing than everything else.
I think it's the Tiger effect in the sense that you know what they used to be able to do and you want to see it again, right? I think the drought is exactly what leads to it, because like for me, I want to see Tiger. When Tiger won the Masters, that was like my first time being like an actual conscious sports fan, being able to watch him win the Masters. I was too young in the early days. I felt like I wasn't into golf as much when he was winning when he was younger. And like, so like you want to be able to experience that stuff. And I feel like you don't, it's that saying, you don't know what you have until it's gone. You don't think about that stuff while Rory's winning, while Spieth is winning. And then they go on for years without doing anything. And you're like, holy fuck, I kind of miss, I didn't pay attention when they were doing it 5-6 years ago. You know what I mean? I want them to do it again. And when they show these little glimpses of hope and these glimpses of like, oh my God, Rory's back. You're like, holy shit, we're about to see this again. We're about to see another great golfer go on a tear. That's at least how I think. When I see Rory charging down the leaderboards, I'm like, uh-oh, we're about to see another guy that's going to make a run for Tiger's fucking majors record. Like, that's all. That's the only thing I always think about.
I think that's a huge part of it, especially right now. I think the drought and like, because as we've talked about many times, any player that appears on a PGA Tour leaderboard, you are looking for a reason for them to stand out and stick out and be different than the others. And a drought is a serious storyline that also gives it historical context. Like if they can get through that drought, then all of a sudden we get hit with these stats. Like Rory McIlroy, that was his 20th win. And then all these stats that came out about how he's one of six players, Byron Nelson, Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson, Tiger Woods, Rory McIlroy, that have won 20 times of the PGA Tour and four majors before turning 33. Like that historical context never even got brought up over the last like few years, because he just, when he's not winning, you lose sight. And then all of a sudden he pops up, wins, and you're like, oh, fuck, this guy's one of the all-time greats. I mean, he has, I believe, the same amount or right around the same amount of wins as Phil Mickelson had before he turned 33. But Phil had zero majors and Rory has four, and he's been stuck at four for like 7 years. So all of that, like you're saying, Frankie, all of that, when all of a sudden he's on a leaderboard and they start hitting you with those stats, right? When it's somebody you don't know who they are, they're not as big of a name. It's like, oh, he's searching for his first tour victory and he's from, you know, Indiana, and you're trying to like give it a little bit of intrigue, and that's a cool story. But then when they hit you with like, oh, he's trying to join Byron Nelson and Arnold, you're like, holy fuck, what is going on here? So I do think that's a huge part of the intrigue.
Yeah. Rory is also, there's a, those list of guys that we say, Tiger, Rory, Jordan Spieth, even like DJ Morikawa, they are like the teams of PGA Tour, right? Like you have, like we are fans of those guys. And we always talk about, especially after the Ryder Cup, how it's insane that as golf fans, we just watch week to week and we like get excited no matter who wins, right? Like,
right.
It's just, oh, like the CJ Cup and fucking Zach Johnson won. And we're like, yay. Like, there's no caring about who wins in PGA Tour. Like, we don't have teams. We don't have allegiances. But there is, like, when a Rory McIlroy wins, when a Jordan Spieth wins, it has that, like, you could, like Trent is a fucking Rory McIlroy fan. Like, he's able to back that guy. He's excited when he does well. So there is something about that, too, where these guys are so big that they're, like, their own team. There's only a couple of them, but they make golf so much more exciting when they do succeed.
Yeah, but I feel like on a person-to-person level, even though there's no aggregate on the team, like, you do root for, like, yesterday, who were you rooting for? Like, were you rooting for Morikawa to, like, post the lowest score and still win? Were you rooting for Rory to hold on? Did you like Ricky? You know, like, I feel like mentally you start pulling for the same guys week over week, even though you're not, like, wearing the colors of the Islanders.
No, I know. It's just, like, you just rattled off three names that happen to be at the top of the leaderboard. Like, we just root for whoever's at the top. Like, there's no allegiances week to week. Like,
Thursday, I wasn't thinking, I want Rory McIlroy to win this week.
I think he'd be the only – there's, like, four or five guys that you'd think about that, and Rory's one of them. Like, you'd think right. that way for Rory.
And I would say on Sunday, like, if Rory made a putt to hold the one-shot lead, I wasn't like, yes!
Right.
Yes. Like, man, yes.
The guy just saw Dave Portnoy walk out of a pizza place and just goes, yes. This is awesome.
I think about that guy all
the
time.
Shout out to that guy. Where the fuck was he?
Somewhere.
Old Forge, Pennsylvania, I think it was. Yeah, Old Forge. It was like the pizza capital of the world. We were going from pizza place to pizza place. Yes. And the same dude kept following us from place to place. And every time he walked out, you just heard in the background of this herd of people. I mean, 1,000 people were standing outside this pizza place. And you just heard in the background this guy go, yes, this is awesome. Just to himself. Just fucking, yeah,
dude. Having a day, man.
Yeah, he saw the guy from the internet in real life, and he couldn't fucking believe his eyes.
And I don't think, like, unless if you're one of the biggest Rory fans in the world, like Trent is, like, maybe he had that reaction. But I think the average golfer watching, it's like, you kind of are rooting for the Ricky comeback story. You're rooting for Morikawa because he's kind of dominating. You're rooting for Rory. It's like when good things, you know, you're kind of, you're almost just, you're, Rob Lowe with like the NFL hat on. You're
just
wearing
the PGA Tour logo.
Sports. You're just like, but sports, baby. Like, let's go.
Even though you don't, I guess, pick them out on Thursday, I feel like everybody's got a mental stack of who you like more than others, from top first player in the world to like 100. Do you not feel that way? Like, as it gets to Sunday, like I just prioritize, like, oh no, that's a guy I like, that's a guy I don't like.
But it's not, it's so much more gray than any other sport. Like if the Islanders are playing against someone, in no part is there a gray area. It's just like, I want your team to die. I want to slit your throats. I don't care if the refs cheat. Right. I don't care if there's horrible calls. I want my team to win. And when you're watching the PGA Tour, it's like, oh yeah, I kind of like that guy a little more than the other. And oh, that guy made an eagle. That was great. And you're just sort of like, you're just kind of bouncing around through the coverage and you don't have this clear black and white allegiance to like a player outside of like Tiger Woods for us, I feel like. But
it's kind of
that,
a blessing in disguise where you get to just enjoy golf. And I guess it's hard to compare golf to every other sport, and we always try and do that. But like, I do, the Ryder Cup really just changes my brain in a lot of ways, right? Bryson, and then just now the team aspect. Like, it just, I love the idea of waking up and saying, we need to win this today. I love that with golf. And I felt that a little bit with Rory. Like, you see him making the charge, and you're like, oh, man, like, I want Rory to win today. Even though, like you mentioned, Ricky would have been a good story. Colin Morikawa, obviously, adding to his list would have been a great story. But Rory's just like that team guy where it's like, I want fucking Rory to win today. Wake up, watch golf, Rory wins. And that's without even putting money on the Barstool Sportsbook. Like, gambling definitely adds to that because, like, you have your guys from Thursday to Sunday. But yeah, I just think that there's a limited amount of guys that you really can say, like, all right, we're going into a tournament. This is my guy. And when he does win, it has that, like, team win feel. Rory's one of those guys.
I also just vividly remember 2014 and what it was like when he was winning back-to-back majors. And you just don't have guys winning. Like, it's always a different guy, it seems like, these days. And it's been like that forever where, oh, this guy won that major and a different guy won that major. When you have a guy winning multiple majors in a row, it's just, it's so much different and it's so much fun where you finally have a guy who has somehow tamed this game of golf and is so good and so interesting and so charismatic that you just want to see him do well. And I'd kill to have that Rory back just for a little bit. If he could win a major, win a couple, just, I don't want to get too crazy, but it's just so much fun when you have a guy like that in the sport because he is so interesting. He makes those comments, and he does have all the talent in the world. It's just a lot of fun when a guy who's the whole package puts it all together and wins.
Would you rather Rory win or Purdue lose to Iowa?
That was really mean that you brought that up.
With golf season in full swing, Chevy wants to help you make the most of every drive, and the all-electric Blazer EV's bold design and dynamic performance make it the perfect electric vehicle to get you to the course in style and comfort. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Yeah, I mean, Rory too. I think Rory and Spieth, the more I think about it, the two of them are probably the most open and honest, it feels like, when they go through their interviews, or at least of the big, big names, they're up there. And I think that that makes it more personal when they're in contention. You know, like, you know you're going to get amazing sound bites from them. And Rory, when he was speaking yesterday, when he was doing his post-round interview, it stuck out to me that, you know, a lot of guys are just trying to get through the interview, it feels like, right? Like, you're just literally, you're just trying to actually formulate words so that you could say, I did the interview. Rory, it feels like he's genuinely trying to answer the question. Like, he wants to give you a legitimate, real answer. And that came off so much yesterday, but he was deeply thinking through, like, what is what is the honest way to answer this? And then he would answer. And he's like, I just need to be Rory, and Rory is enough. And that, you know, when you think about that, of him trying to change his swing, he admitted that he was chasing Bryson a little bit, or at least the Bryson effect, you know, a year or so ago. He had like Pete Collins, so he's changing his swing coach. He gets compared to Tiger all the time, which we've done multiple times already. And he's like, not trying to be Tiger. He's not trying to be, he just like needs to be him, and that's totally fine and enough. And him revealing that to us, again, I just think it makes it so personal when he wins a tournament, when you shouldn't have any personal connection to this guy who's a megastar like Rory McIlroy, works like he's, or walks like he's got, you know, like a three foot long dick the way that he walks around the golf course. But he makes it that personal and makes it that enjoyable. I think Spieth does that too when he kind of opens up all the time and, you know, reveals his scatterbrain a little bit.
Yeah, and I like thinking through it, like to Frankie's point, I do agree Bryson's on that level of just like moves the needle on like social, but I think in terms of Spieth and Rory still are on like a level of their own with regards to just eyes coming into golf when they're at the top of the leaderboard. But I did think that was so interesting of Rory's comments of just the self-doubt that golf creates, like when you're not winning and it rewards one person week after week, and like confidence is so massive. And for Rory, who you think has all the confidence in the world, the way he walks, the way he holds himself, is still like, no, just like, if I just swing my swings and swing naturally, that level of play is good enough to win. And for him to maybe, I don't know, not truly believe that in the last couple of years is like incredible to me. But we have seen him chase like Bryson or try to maximize distance or get a little bit more out of his game. But I think, like, as the average golfer knows, like, every time you try to do a little bit more, you usually suck. And so maybe a little bit of that resonates all the way up to the Rorys of the world. But his post-play interviews are, I think, like, the best in golf, and they're always much watched. Every time you see an Instagram post, a Twitter post, and it's Rory, you're like, what did he say now? Because they're so insightful, they're very thoughtful. And to your point, Riggs, like, you can see that he's actually – investing the time to give the answer, not just like, yep, no, didn't hit it, missed that putt a little high on the high side on 16, as we go, you know, as they do, like they rip through the highlights of the round and they just give those like three word like bullet statements on each.
Yep.
He never does that. So probably him opening up, and then to Frankie's point, like when you see greatness and then it goes away for a while, you just want it back so badly. And I hope he goes on a run. It would be awesome if he had just a tremendous year.
Masters, man. If that guy can win the Masters, oh, there's no outside, again, of like Tiger and occasionally Phil. I don't know if there's a better storyline in all of golf than when he shows up to Augusta and he's playing well and they show those clips of him behind the fucking cabin on the 10th hole on the back nine when he blew it and shot like bad. 81.
80, yeah, it was bad.
And then he had the magic or the final round parry against Patrick Reed when the whole world was pulling for him. He didn't quite get it done there. It'd be his grand slam.
He three putted two or something like that against Patrick Reed. There was like the chance where you were excited, or he maybe stuffed one in for an eagle chance that was like 4 feet and just missed it. And you're like, oh, the mallet's going to let him down again. This is so sad. But yeah, there would be no better story in golf, potentially, without barring Tiger, like if he were to take home the green jacket.
If he gets a couple more wins leading into that and he's playing well and you get all the Augusta hype going into that, that is just as good as it gets. And again, when he's that honest and real. Question for you guys. So obviously the number is 20 wins for Rory McIlroy before the age of 33 and four majors. How many wins and majors do you think Tiger had before he was 33?
Oh, fuck. All right, hold on. He would have been 33. Just the numbers. 50. There's the numbers are astronomical. I'm sure.
55. I'm gonna say 55.
Hold on. 33. What year was it? 33. When he was 33, what year was it?
Was that 12 years ago?
Oh, that must have been about 2009, maybe.
Oh, okay. So, yeah. So he's at
2009.
Like 13, 14 majors, and how many wins? Just I'm gonna say 49. No.
Whoa.
60.
I'm going to say 68.
So per Justin Ragoff, who's our guy, 65 wins, 14 majors before he was 33.
Yeah, that's a different career. That's different.
That's the that's career. Crazy. That's the career. Like, I know we talk about it all the time. We don't have to talk about it ad nauseum again, but like 300 years from now, a golf podcast is going to be talking about those numbers. You know what I mean?
You think they'll still have a golf podcast in 300 years?
Whatever the golf podcasting, what do you think it's going to be?
I think you just put like a memory chip into your brain, just like downloads it. And there that's you go. It.
So it's crazy that we were alive during Tiger Woods. I know, again, now, we talk about it all the time, but like, that's insane.
Now, going back to that point you just made, so Tiger, would you say 14 and 65 by 33? Did you say that Phil Mickelson had not won a major to that point and had how many wins?
Phil had, I believe, 20-something as well. He was close to Rory, but he had zero major. Dude, Phil...
That is crazy. Phil's career on the backside, it's like...
Something that's so overlooked is Phil not being able to get the major championship monkey off his back forever. Right. It was the only thing people asked him for like 7 years. And it was like in the 99 U.S. Open with Payne Stewart when he like finished second. And then it would be another 5 years before he would win a major championship after that. Like, that is...
That's crazy.
The charts. He had all those moments at Shinnecock when he was like right there and he like three-putted or missed short putt on 17. All these majors just added up. And then he finally broke through. I believe, it was 2014 Masters when he made that putt and jumped, to 20 feet in the air. But, man... Phil Mickelson and that whole – like, imagine living in that era when Phil – like, not living, we were through it, but when we were, like, being present and focused on the media and, like, reacting to it all the time with social now, it would have been deafening how often he just got chirped. Meanwhile, this other guy, Tiger Woods, who was number one in the world – Phil was, like, number two – was just winning majors by, like, 15 shots and shit. It's crazy. Right.
That's not to be believed. I mean, like – I love Tiger, man, but he has had one of the worst 15-year stretches in the golf world. I mean, of all time. It's like, if he had Phil's career on the backside post-33, I mean, he's the best player, like, without question, he's the best player in the world.
Yeah, a lot of bad stuff happened. Yeah,
there's a couple of hangups, but he's still, 65? So he's still had 17 wins since then. Like, that's right. Other people would kill for that career.
Right.
Oh, yeah. 17 wins in a major.
I know. Phil was on tour for 11 years before he won a major championship.
I was going to say, how is that possible? Crazy. But then we're talking about the other guy, and I know why that's possible. I
mean, he must have been seeing Tiger in his dreams. You know what I mean? Just like, this guy won't get out of here. Get him the hell off the planet.
Dude, from like 93, I mean, I get Phil in 1993 won the Buick Invitational of California. That was his first PGA Tour professional win. And then he didn't win a major until the 2004 Masters tournament. So that 11-year stretch, he just didn't win a major championship, and he was Phil Mickelson. He won 22 PGA Tour events before winning a major.
That's sort of that's probably got to be close to DJ numbers, probably almost exact.
Yeah, I think that is very close to DJ numbers.
Fuck. And now he's got 5.
Man, I just saw a funny meme.
6.
He's got 6.
I keep forgetting he won. Not forgetting, but it's like I do that with Tiger too, where I forget to add like the recent Masters even. Where I'm just like, oh yeah, is Tiger 4? Because for a decade we just said 14 majors.
And I have certainly had conversations where I refer to Tiger Woods as a 14-time major champion.
Absolutely, it's just like it was ingrained in your brain that's just how many he won.
14 was like, such an ugly number. I'm so glad we got to 15.
15's way nicer. Way nicer. So Dustin Johnson has PGA Tour wins, 24 PGA Tour wins, and he's got one major championship. So Phil was essentially DJ's entire career, but he had never won a major.
That stuff blows your mind.
It's unreal. Unreal. And then you think about these guys like Padraig Harrington popped up, and he won 3 majors in 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Koepka on a certain level. He doesn't win again, he just showed up, dominated for a little bit, left. Like, it's like,
it was like 3 years, and he was like, "That's my legacy."
Right, golf's easy. You only have to beat 10% of the field. Like, I'm fine. I just and then with that mindset, just wins.
It was just how like it was like 3 PGA championships. It was it's really something.
It's unbelievable. Just unbelievable. Some of like what it takes and how people can't get over the hurdle in a major and. Oh, boy, it's Rory. Anyways, Rory's back. Kind of, I think. This is also a golf tournament in October in Vegas, so it's not like, you know, we're not. So it sort of feels a little bit like when Spieth won earlier, you know, when it was like great that he won, but it wasn't like he won the. It wasn't the Masters.
This is almost like preseason, honestly, right now. Like, they're obviously wins, but like, it feels, if you want to like rev the engine and start to get in gear early in the season, you're playing a lot of these. If you don't, you know, the Zozo, it's like, but again, it's very much like, yeah, play where you want, play a little golf. If you play well, you collect obviously a big paycheck, but it's tough to say, like, it's almost like Sam Snead wins for these. Like, they're not. Dude, they don't feel so important.
Oh, come on. Morikawa's nipping at your heels. Like, yeah, that's a little different.
The CJ Cup, I agree, because it was, you know, they have a – they bring in a lot of the top dogs. It's a huge purse. Mm-hmm. So, like, there's a good amount of players there. But it is always interesting when you – I'm on, like, Instagram. And one Instagram story is, like, Rory with a phenomenal quote holding the trophy. The next one is Bryson DeChambeau's hitting a golf ball on a beach in the Bahamas. And you're just like – all right, he's like literally one guy that's ranked in the top 10 is on a beach, so it's clearly not the same thing as winning a major championship. And you could compare all of that. A win is a win. You got to beat Morikawa. You had to beat Ricky. You had to beat Keith Mitchell, who's played really good golf at times and was nipping there as well. So Rory, win. It's great for golf when he's back.
What are you looking at over there?
Just how dominating Brooks was from 2017 to 2019. Scary. Absolutely scary. Back-to-back PGA Championships, back-to-back U.S. Opens. Then he finished T2 in the Masters and then T4 in the Open, all in 2019. He almost just swept the board. He almost fucking swept the board.
Scary how close he was to ruining Tiger 2019 Masters for us. Like, yep. He had a couple really good birdie looks down the stretch, and if those go in, it's just over.
Insanity. Absolutely insane. And then 2020 is like a fake year. So, I mean, the guy's still like right there. He did this in 2019. Like, Brooks Koepka's still hot.
He's still scared. Like, no, totally. He's still scared. I mean,
if he doesn't like win another major or whatever, which is obviously like very possible in some respects, like, he just showed up, dominated, and like left when you look at the history of golf, which is incredible.
Right. He was over in Europe for years and then just like came on to the shores and won four majors in no time.
Right, got big, won, and just said, like, yeah, you only have to beat 10% of the field pretty much, so, like, golf's easy. Had that mindset, won, and now it's
over.
He
must have gotten hypnotized or something. He did something. That can't just happen, especially in golf, where all of a sudden you are just dominant in the biggest events that late.
Well, look at Molinari. I mean, like, he showed up and left. Like, he's not even to be seen anymore. You know,
yeah, but there's
just here.
But historically, there's going to be nobody compared to Brooks in terms of his age, in terms of his career trajectory. Like, for him to just show up one day, and I know, like, he had been around, like, whatever, but not in that way. And then to just win a bunch of majors, that's unheard of. Unheard of.
Dude, it's quite different, clearly. But this streak, I just looked up Johnny Miller because he had similar flashes where he just was – he, from September 1974, okay, he pops up, he wins, and he won actually a bunch. But from 1974 through 1976, okay, he wins 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 times. He wins from 1974 to 1976. He won the Open Championship by 6 strokes. He won the Phoenix Open by 14. He won the Kaiser International Open by 8. He won the Dean Martin Tucson Open by 9. So during that stretch of those 15 wins, he had a win by 14, a win by 9, a win by 8, and he won a major championship by 6. Jeez. Now, he clearly had other stretches where he won some tournaments too, but that stretch in the mid-70s from Johnny Miller is outrageous.
And those tournaments he won, the Kaiser Soze Open, what the fuck was that? And then the Dean Martin Championship.
But that actually also, that thing class. You listed off, also separates Brooks, because Brooks doesn't win regular tour events.
Was there a Frank Sinatra classic that year?
Probably.
This is when all those, like, Bing Crosby, it was like the Bing Crosby, everything.
Tell me
was
there was
like,
a Bing Crosby classic.
There was like the Clam Bake.
The Clam Bake.
That's right.
That's like the original Pebble
the
Beach.
The AT&T Pebble Beach. Like, the Bing Crosby was like that forever.
Yeah. Wow. All this. That's when, you know, Clint Eastwood was a young man still showing up.
Still sitting there to this day.
He's out there now.
Waiting.
That's why Johnny Miller was just all cocky when he would be on air. It was just like, no, I'm the, like, my best is good as anybody who's ever done it. And this is the way I'm going to talk to people. Like,
oh, yeah,
people.
You can no, see you just where his...
Play it off like, your left foot. That's what I used to do.
Yeah. 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 Foot. It's like, how does that not go in from 186 yards?
You can see it's why like he was such an asshole as a broadcaster, where he's like, anytime somebody would do the smallest thing wrong on a Sunday, he'd be like, well, that's nerves right there, folks. It's like, dude, he's just a human being.
I will say, I miss him. I mean, like, he was good.
A good foil. He a was. Really good foil, because I loved making fun of him because he was such a dick.
He was like, he literally thought it was impossible to miss a green from 230 yards on
the because he was showing up to the clam bake and stealing everyone's food. It was crazy. The guy couldn't miss.
Johnny
Aura. Aura provides digital security protection to keep your online finances, personal information, and tech safe from online threats. Aura is an all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and so much more. With Aura, you will get alerted to fraud and threats fast, like if your online accounts or passwords were leaked online or if someone tries to open a bank account in your name. Now, we have said many times that we might be some of the most susceptible people to any type of scam, fraud, identity theft in the world because we're technologically illiterate in a lot of ways and have done zero, I mean zero, to protect ourselves up until Aura, which is incredibly simple. You go to aura.com/foreplay. You get complete protection and savings of up to 40%. They are a new type of security service that protects all your online information and devices with one simple subscription. Before Aura, gentlemen, would you agree that if anyone on Earth could be hackable and easily able to have their identity stolen, that it would be this crew of four right here?
Big time.
Yeah.
I thought my Twitter got hacked when we were out at the Ryder Cup, and it turned out to just be my dad liking all tweets, and he responded because
I tweeted out a link and a picture of the Slaughter by the Water hoodies, and you, Frankie Borelli, your Twitter account, sent me three thumbs up, and I was like,
as a response,
what's this all about?
And well, when we were doing Islander streams at the Coliseum, I would use my phone to stream live from the chair, and then I would use my dad's phone with me signed into it to tweet like after goals. And I thought I definitely logged out of it, but then all of a sudden I just started seeing all these things started getting liked and response. I'm like, oh my God, I'm being hacked.
Your own tweets were getting liked.
My own people thought I was liking my own tweets. It was crazy.
It was just your dad.
My
being
last 100 tweets had a little heart underneath it. I'm like, what is happening? What a weird hacking. What a weird hacking to like just write like wholesome responses to Trent and then also just like my own stuff. Turned out it was my dad.
So there you go. We can get hacked by our own father. That's exactly. How dumb we are.
Right.
Yeah, not anymore. Gentlemen, for a limited time, Aura, A-U-R-A, is offering our listeners up to 40% off plans when you visit aura.com/foreplay. All right, we mentioned Johnny Miller, you know, senior golf, wild move by just golf in general yesterday to have this, you know, the CJ Cup, this beautiful golf course, Summit Club, and I saw a lot of great footage, drone footage, pictures. They're hyping it up. They had a great leaderboard. Obviously, Rory and Ricky going at it in the final group. You had Colin Morikawa made a run. You had JT yesterday. It was like 8 or 9 under, and people were freaking out because not only was it not on, you know, a major network on TV, not only was it not on Golf Channel, it was, even if you had streaming services, you could not pull up a website, you couldn't go anywhere and get actual footage, live footage of the golf until after 5 p.m. Eastern time when they went live. And then even when they went live, they were like, oh, we got to actually follow up the conclusion of the whatever the fuck senior celebration event out here where the Mechanic was playing, which I always do love watching the Mechanic. But people were freaking out that you finally get a great leaderboard. This is why you're a golf fan. This is what makes you tune in, as we turned on and discussed at length earlier. Rory McIlroy, these big names, they finally get it, which is not easy to do on the PGA Tour, to get good names going at it week in and week out. And you couldn't even fucking watch it. It was insane that you couldn't watch it.
Just turn it on.
You got to give the people what they want.
The cameras are rolling. You just got to push
it
somewhere.
They had cameras.
Push it somewhere. It's got to live somewhere.
Right.
That footage has to be seen. What are they doing with that footage, like at that moment? Why are they not putting it out to the world? That seems illegal.
It really is one of the bigger mistakes, and I think it's a mistake that, I don't know if it's old school or like traditional television media, the mistake that they make is they're just not giving the people what they want, and specifically golf. Like, just we want to see the best leaderboard that's happening right now. And for whatever reason, this isn't the first time also that like a golf broadcast hasn't gone the way that the public wants it. It seems like they do it consistently when it's like Frankie's saying, just put it on. It's really that simple. You have a great product that people want to see, and you're not letting
them
see.
There's a billion channels. Find one of them. Just put it on TV. We have fucking old Luis knitting some socks until she gets arthritis on channel 75. Like, let's just throw the golf on there. What's going on? Put it on a channel.
And they're putting out clips, right? If, like, Ricky hits one tight, they're putting that clip out. So they're saying, we have cameras. We're actually using those cameras to film the play. We're just not putting it anywhere for you to consume it and to witness it, which is outrageous. So people were, of course, losing their minds. I don't like if they want to consider and try to build this wraparound season and they put these mandates in place where players have to add a new tournament, they have to play certain events so that entices them or that almost requires them to add tournaments like the CJ Cup, then you can't not put it on fucking television. I don't understand how they're benefiting from them not having it on television. How is that a business model? I don't understand what they're doing.
It's a bunch of dinosaurs that don't know what the fuck they're doing. That's what's going
on. Imagine something like that.
A bunch of suits.
Imagine something like that happened in a Barstool. I don't know what the comparison would be, but like just not putting the number one thing that people want to see onto like a stream. I mean, Dave would just kill everybody.
And it's amazing. Like other leagues and other networks just figure it out. I was watching Red Zone last night. Obviously, that Cowboys game was electric. Yes. And you're watching Red Zone. They have the conclusion of the Cowboys game. And then Hanson makes an announcement saying, we can no longer show the United States viewers this game on this channel. So go over to CBS. It's going to be playing there for all the national coverage. All the international people stay here. It's as simple as that. They figured out a way to just get everyone to another channel to watch the end of an amazing football game. But the PGA Tour doesn't even show the game. They don't show any of it. Not just the end. They don't show any of this stuff. They don't have any urgency to have people watch their sport. What's going on there? And then we get like, we have to fucking deal with people about credentials and stuff. Like, we're trying to show off your sport. You don't even want to show off your own sport. What the fuck are the PGA Tour doing? I want to laugh at them in their face. I want them to sit there. I want to laugh at them. I want to do like a hearty laugh in front of the entire fucking decision-making crew. I want to go into a room and laugh at them.
And it wasn't even like they're repurposing or saving it for another thing. It wasn't like at 7 p.m. they're going to start from the beginning. Those first like nine holes are just
gone.
Gone. Like they're just, they don't exist, that they didn't play the turn. You're like, what are crazy. You talking about? How can that be a real thing? That's not, I imagine if they just started the football game 7 minutes left in the third quarter. And they're like, yeah, this is the only footage that you're going to, it'd be anarchy. There'd be a revolution. Like you just can't have that. And yet as golf fans, that's what they gave us yesterday. It was shocking.
It makes me embarrassed to be a golf fan. The fact that the sport that we like to watch isn't even on TV, right? Like that to me is embarrassing. I sometimes think about that with the Islanders. They're on MSG ++2 sometimes. I'm like, this is an embarrassing night to be an Islander fan. They can't even find themselves on MSG plus or MSG +2. They're on some other channel tonight because we just couldn't get on TV. You gotta
agree with you.
Like, you just have to somehow find yourself on TV. Like, what are we watching here? MSG Varsity? Am I watching two high school teams go, like, together? I don't understand what's happening here. This is the fucking PGA Tour.
The NHL was on, like, ESPN, the Cup Finals, and that is just so gross. Yeah. Just on cable. It's like nobody cares about this thing. But I agree with you. It is,
well, I
like,
think that's what's going to happen.
It's a little
now,
bit
right?
of pride.
Dude, yeah. I want to say, like, last year, I want to say the NBA or the NHL Finals were on, like, NBC Sports Network, and people text you being like, what the fuck is NBC Sports Network? It's like they have fucking like a rodeo. They're finishing up a rodeo coverage on NBC Sports, and then next up they're like Stanley Cup Final, and you're like, oh,
but
man,
at least they figure out to put it on
like
TV
shit.
The PGA Tour would just be like, you know what, we're not going on the rodeo channel, we're just going to show it in the That's third true. Period once our other coverage is over,
right? Do they view it as, we've got our ad dollars, we don't care what we put on? Like, is there no incentive to put on the best possible product?
Well, then the tiers of those advertisements are the same. Like, whether it's on the Champions Tour or the PGA Tour, it's like, yeah, those are just dollars in. It's not like A content, B content. It's rated differently because, yeah, it's crazy not to show it. And as a golfer, I agree with Frankie's points quite a bit. And the fact that, like, it's upsetting when it's, oh, no, yeah, you want to watch golf. It's it'll start on the 13th hole on an obscure channel. And you're like, this sucks. Like,
all right, like, download Peacock. All right, right, and then steal your parents' passcode, and then you can catch the last five holes.
Or so yesterday was, oh, you want to watch the golf? Get a flight to Vegas. That's the only way you're going to be able to watch it is if you actually go to the event, which is insane.
Dude, insane. It feels like if I'm trying to watch, like, my high school hockey team has a big game or something, and you're like, all right, there's got to be a live stream somewhere. They're putting the best players in the world on that level of, like, people are, you're looking on Twitter. Is somebody giving me a link on Twitter? Dude. People are tweeting at us, like, all right, Riggs, tell me there's somewhere else I can watch the golf. I'm like, nah,
how many
dude,
times in my
it's
life
only I've, Rory versus Ricky. It's only how Rory versus Ricky.
How many times
TV.
In my life I've Why Googled how to watch the golf today? That's just unacceptable. Right. How many times have you guys done that?
All the time.
Golf TV coverage today. You like type it into Google and it's always like a golf.com article being like where to watch and how to watch it. It's like, and I mean, let me just figure out how to watch this sport.
Just
you know?
2 weeks ago, I was able to watch Bryson hit golf balls to the moon at a world-long drive competition. Why can't they figure out how to stream the CJ Cup with Rory and Ricky?
And then every year it's another streaming service. First it's on NBC Sports and now it's on something else. It's on ESPN Plus. You get that with the package. It's like, just figure out how to make it easy. It's 2021. You know how easy it is to do things in 2021? It's so easy.
Right. They need someone.
I don't even have to stick my credit card in the machine anymore. Just like it just like catches it from my wallet.
Put it in the general area and it goes beep and you're on
But
your
I can't
way.
Watch golf on TV. Someone, you were watching golf on TV when they had the clam bake. That's how easy it is.
You just need somebody in that room to go, I want to show the golf. And it's going to be a revolutionary idea in that room. And then just work backwards from there on how you can show the golf when it's on.
You think it was easier to watch golf 40 years ago on TV?
Sometimes
maybe they didn't
yeah.
show as much, but like I feel like it was probably just on like the major TV channels when like Arnold Palmer was stepping up to the tee, they had it on TV. Like
yeah,
they
there
just
were only like five channels in the right. world, and one of them was going to have the golf.
And like right. as much as I love the streaming option, and like I can watch it from my computer, or whatever, I still would love to be able to watch it on TV all the time.
Yeah,
yeah. Big like time. With the new you remotes now, you can like it's like. I don't know, voice to find the channel, and you can just say golf. But then sometimes it gives you some obscure link, and there's just no connection to the actual PGA Tour. It would be nice if that just – like when you – football, it's like it gives you the options on Sunday, and you just watch them. With this, it's brutal. Yeah, you can't find anything. I agree with you. Simpler times, there might have just been one channel, and that actually happened.
I mean, golf. And they have a channel called the Golf Channel.
Right, but it's,
how do they not even have like an NFL Sunday ticket or an NBA League Pass where right. you can just like
right.
pay $150 a year and you just have this designated streaming service and that's just what you do.
That's just it.
I'd Dude, pay that in
they
a
have, They have PGA Tour Live, but it like is Thursday and Friday, and then you're completely at the will of who they choose for the featured groups, and then right. on the weekends it wouldn't have helped you yesterday at all. They need to revamp PGA Tour Live basically and be like, I want to be able to watch the raw coverage of whatever the fuck I want. Like, that's why I'm paying. I'll pay $150 a year. I don't care. I want to be able to watch. I want to be able to pick Kevin Kisner or Joel Damon or Pat Perez or Max Homa. I want to be able to just watch them play their round of golf. Put a fucking microphone in their goddamn golf bag, and I want to hear everything that Joe Griner and Max Homa say to each other, and I want to watch every shot that they hit the entire round. I don't care if you shoot 77 or 67. I want to watch everything, and the fact that 99% of the time, like 99% of the time Kevin Kisner plays professional golf, there is not even a single option to watch it outside of being there in person.
Charge us whatever you want to charge us, right? And then show every single swing that ever happens in the PGA Tour season, right? Like just show yes. it on PGATourLive.com. That is where you're going to charge us $120 a year, and then that's it. Then also, if you for the majors, for the big tournaments, put it wherever else you want it. NBC, Golf Channel, but it has to live on PGATour.com for the people that want to pay extra that they'll never miss a swing, okay? No matter what.
I've got an idea. This extension of like the pit plan, getting brands of golfers very like, I don't know, well sought after that you actually want to listen. You talk about Homa, Kisner, etc. Create like a rev share program where you can subscribe to golfers where you pay and then they're just mic'd up and you just listen to everything and watch everything that Kisner does, Homa, and you can just pay for insights into that. That would be amazing. So you reward the golfers with like more subscribers as they work Thursday through Sunday. That would be insane because I would definitely subscribe to my favorite golfers. And actually, like, if I could hear every part of their conversation and you, whatever, sign some BS legal form, like, I don't care if they curse or say whatever. So that would, I think that would be awesome.
So it's like OnlyFans for golf.
I don't think. Right. Yeah. I don't think the golfers are going
to
sign up for
I
that.
Think so, dude. If they have to, if some people might. Fucking, I think it's an OnlyFans for golf, right?
Yes.
$5 extra this week to listen to Kevin Kisner and watch every swing. And he gets yes. like 80% of that. And then, like, the PGA Tour gets 20.
Right.
Dude, and then he should be able to pick his broadcast team, and it could be us that we're just the broadcast right. team. Like, we're going to
just watch
Kevin
the raw,
Kisner's golf.
I would watch yeah. the raw footage.
You think they yeah, ever true. Have conversations like this at the PGA Tour? Are they ever creative? Are there is there anyone's brains?
No, because
are there any
because
brain synapses having
no,
happening?
Because sometimes what they do is if they do start a broadcast late, they will tape delay it and start it at the beginning, and they're like, "Look, we did it," and it's like, "Fuck you! I have Twitter. I already know what happened."
You ever
like,
see Click?
Yeah,
you know when he stops. He stops it and he just smacks the fucking guy right across the face.
Yeah.
I want to do that to every single person that works for PGA Tour Live. Just stop time, and, like, rip a fart in their mouth and just smack them. It's just like the movie Click, dude. Because they're fucking stupid. Because they're so fucking stupid.
It does seem that there has to be a level of complacency with, we've already got our ad dollars. It doesn't matter what we show.
That would be so funny.
We have no incentive to show necessarily what people want to see. So you guys, you get what you get. We don't care. Like yeah. that is not how a major sport should operate.
Because I think
if we're
going to
prioritize like how they operate, I think that's just at one. I don't know if Frankie just said
Stacy, somebody shit in my soup.
I'm just now picturing Frankie like a little meme walking into PGA Tour headquarters, hitting pause, and just going office to office, setting up a GoPro on each office and leaving. And just seeing the chaos ensue.
And then when they get mad at me, I'm like, you ever see the movie Click?
They're like, oh, yeah. Something has to change because it's been like this for a long time, and I don't understand.
Just got
to
figure it out.
You just got to figure it out.
We have to figure out shit all the time in our lives. They don't figure it out over there.
We figured out the best tee time app. It's called Barstool Golf Time.
Barstool Golf Time. Get it.
It's reviews. It is discounted tee times. It is a plethora of options for tee times, no matter where you're at. You type in a zip code. Do you like that word, Frankie?
I did. And I also want an updated list. Maybe we can get one from our team that's running this app. But I want to know who's in the lead right now with the point system. You know what I mean? Like, we need to start updating the people
true.
On the point system. I want to know who is leading the Barstool Golf Time Tee Time app. I need to know that because that person, I think, is coming to Borelli's for dinner and maybe some golf at a local golf course with me. So I need to know who's in the lead. Who am I rooting for? How many reviews does that person have? If you're going to book a tee time, why not use the one that gives you rewards and has the best reviews on it? You know what I mean? Just do it.
And we'll start getting we'll give shout outs to people.
We need
on
a list. I need to know who's the list. We need to know. We'll figure it out.
Jake just gave me a thumbs up.
Thumbs up. We're going to find out who the list is.
We are running a sweepstakes for a chance to attend the 2021 Barstool Classic Championship. You go to barstoolgolftime.com. The winner is going to receive attendance for you and one guest at the Barstool Classic Championship, airfare for two, accommodations for two, a round for two on the Cradle, which will be Sunday, a round for two on one of the Pinehurst courses. Frankie, again, has thrown in a little dinner at Borelli's. You get all kinds of good experiences that you can win by being one of the leaders when it comes to using the Barstool Golf Time app. You get discounted merch. You get discounted tee times by dominating, by leaving reviews, by posting videos for reviews, by booking more and more tee times. So go to barstoolgolftime.com, find out more, enter the 2021 Barstool Classic Championship sweepstakes. Yeah, golf coverage sucks. I would love to figure out how we could do one of these simulcast things, the Manning casts, how we could come up with a version of that for golf.
That'd be awesome. I mean, we've gone live before for the endings, I feel like, right? Have we done that for the Masters? But, like, you have to do it where people can watch the golf simultaneously with you.
Right.
Yeah. Right. It's a no-brainer.
Which I don't know the legality behind that. I imagine
all these
it's pretty
suits,
intense.
They have no creativity.
I would say, a simulcast with us is like 500 years down the road at the pace that they're moving.
We need the dinosaurs to be extinct by then, you know?
Right.
Like, Jeff Shackelford's need to go for a nap.
Right. It's impossible.
Yeah, I don't think we're getting there.
Did you guys watch Squid Game?
I haven't finished it yet.
I can't watch it. It looks too scary.
I haven't started it.
It's not scary, but it is depressing.
Oh my God, it's so depressing.
And that's
worse. I don't need that shit. I don't need that shit.
Right, that's how I felt about Black Mirror. People were like, oh, you got to watch Black Mirror. You got to watch Black Mirror. I watched two episodes, and I was like, I don't need sadness poured into my life.
Oh, I do.
Nope.
Like,
it drives me.
You don't need any more sadness, Frankie.
You no, you don't. You want to know how my brain works? Did you hear it before when I tried to throw that dig at Trent about Iowa? I said, instead of saying, would you rather Iowa win?
Yeah.
My brain went to, would you rather Purdue lose
right.
to Iowa? It's such a weird first thing to think of, like the team losing as opposed to the team winning. Fucking strange. That one has got me rattled since I said that.
And I've watched six episodes of Squid Game, so I am getting through. I'm not necessarily always opposed to, I don't have to always watch Ted Lasso, although I did finish that.
Fuck Nate.
And I just want to say, fuck Nate.
Fuck that guy.
But Squid Games, I'm slowly working my way through it. I can't watch more than two episodes in a sitting because I just, the feeling in my gut once I get done watching is just pure misery.
Anyway, I have a couple things to say about Squid Game. And
why do you want that? What's the point of that? Why do you want to watch that?
Well, you want to know how it ends, right? Like,
the concept is incredibly interesting.
You want to know. It's not like, to me, what you're saying is how I respond to people when they watch scary movies. Why would you want to put yourself through a moment where you just want it to be over? See, in Squid Game, I don't want
to. But my issue with scary movies, too, though, is that then it affects me for days. Like, I have bad dreams now. I think I can't walk around, like, the fucking sidewalk without thinking somebody's going to jump out and stab me. I don't want that. I'm trying to live. The more I can live in La La Land, the better. I think that's, like, the goal.
Squid Game is actually worse than that because it starts to make you look at society, being like, what's all this about? Who are these people in my life? What would they actually think? Like, what would they actually do? It's a lot, man.
Now, saying all that, I want to do, and we need a budget, so I need a movie company or maybe Netflix or one of these big companies that need to start, they need to budget and finance my idea, but it's a Squid Games of golf. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's essentially all of our hypotheticals we've ever come up with. Like, would you actually do it if it came down to a bullet in the back of your head? Because that's what Squid Games is, Riggs. It's essentially that 5-foot putt, and if you miss it, you get a bullet in your head. That's exactly what the show
right
is.
Right away.
It's exactly what the show
is.
Now, imagine
it sounds fascinating. Liability, we'll have to get the legal team on
now,
that.
Now, obviously, you're not
going to
die,
really,
but, like, I want to do a spoof. Can we do a spoof of Squid Games, or is that lame? I want to do a golf spoof of Squid Games, and I want to film it, right? Like, so my idea, you guys haven't seen the show, but
no,
the show,
I haven't seen it yet, but after I see it, I'm totally on board for something.
The show starts off with this dude. So basically, all these gamblers that are in massive debt, they get a chance at playing a game to win a ton of money. And the way that they started is they find these people that are, like, in the slums, and their lives are fucking on their last legs.
Down bad.
And they give them this game to play where you throw this paper thing at another paper thing, and if you flip it, you get $50,000. But if you don't, you get slapped in the face, and you get to try again, right? They just keep slapping this guy. So I would love to do a spoof on, like, Trent trying to get out of a bunker, and when he doesn't, like, we walk up on Trent. This is my idea for Squid Games Golf. Trent, he's stuck in a bunker, or he's just down bad. The guy hasn't broken 110 years. He can't figure it out. He's, like, moping around the golf course. We walk up to him, and we have this game where we're like, hey, man, if you get out of this bunker, we'll give you $10,000. But if you don't, I'm going to smack you across the face. And Trent's trying to get out, and I'm smacking him like fucking crazy. I'm smacking him till he can't breathe anymore. Finally, he gets out of the bunker, and now he's in Squid Games, right? Like, we give him this option. Maybe we give him a little coin. Like, oh, we flick him a coin. I'm thinking of all the shots, right? We flick him a coin, and on the coin says where to go. It's a certain golf course, and that's the Squid Game. Now we have all these new games at this golf course. If you make the putt, you go on to the next game. If you don't, you die.
I think there's certainly a market for it because
is it lame?
There was a golf social media account, and I wish I could remember right now, who did the next Squid Game challenge is getting out of a bunker and won. And I got tagged in it more times than I've been tagged.
They made a clip?
No. Oh. They just did. They had, like, a screenshot from the show. Kind of. They memed it. I got tagged in that more than I've been tagged in anything in my entire life. And people would probably like to see it.
Well, man, I saw a fucking funny meme the other day that I think came from Old Row Golf. And basically the scene from Squid Game is it's red light, green light, 1, 2, 3. And in the episode, not to give away any spoilers, but one of the guys falls as it's like red light, green light, 1, 2, 3. And then someone's like holding on to him. It's an amazing moment.
So good.
So like they're fucking not moving. And the meme was the person dangling and it said quitting golf. And then the person that was holding him, it said birdieing 18. And it's just the funniest meme I've ever seen because it's so true. You're so close to never playing the game ever again. But that final hole, when you just string it together and you hit a good drive, you hit a green, you make the putt, you're like, I'm coming back to this fucking thing and I'm going to dominate it. Man, I laughed for 10 minutes when I saw that meme.
Riggs, I actually think you should watch it the more we're talking about it. I think you would like
it. Yeah, you would. But you have to watch it in Korean with American subtitles. You cannot watch it with the American dubbed over voice. It's
awful.
You see the mouth. It's the opposite of, like, you see the mouths moving, and then it's like, hello, my name is Ryan. It's like, you can't do that. You just got to get used to reading.
Is this a movie or a series?
It's a show.
It's a show.
Seven episodes?
I think it's nine.
Nine? So you're committing 9 hours.
All right, I'm going to watch it. I'm not happy about it, but I'm going to watch it.
Oh, you'll love it, dude. Once they get into the games, you're not going to be able to stop, dude.
And a big
lot
part of it.
Like games. I love games.
A lot of blood.
A lot of blood. And a big part of it is just, then you're in on the jokes. Like, I'm sure you've seen Squid Game memes and you're like, I don't know what the fuck that is. It's fun to be in, you know, part of the culture.
Maybe we'll make a...
I didn't even get to laugh at Frankie's meme that he saw because I don't even know what the fuck's going on.
Oh, dude.
I think to really make your idea work, we got to kill people.
No, it's just a spoof. I don't want to actually do it. I don't want to kill people.
I think there's definitely some overlap in, like, the Barstool Classic. Like, you could have let people somehow risk something. And if they miss, like, the fairway, they pay double. They're like, they're
Frankie
out of the Barstool Classic.
Frankie seems really into the idea of slapping people. Frankie wants to slap somebody.
I've tried to slap people twice on this podcast.
What if you got, like, a group
you
of, like,
and the group of PGA Tour Live people?
That's right.
What if you got, like, a group of guys at the Korn Ferry Tour, people who, like, are just about to lose their tour cards, and you put them on an island, and if they lose the game, they just lose their tour card?
See, I wish we could do something like that.
Right.
We don't own tour cards, which sucks. We don't
But if we did, that'd be really good. I actually really like that idea. Then the stakes are real. You don't have to, I guess you don't have to kill people, but you have to make it where their life does change.
I'm glad we can agree on that we're not going to murder anyone.
I'll tell you this. Well, if we could offer the option of killing people, it would make the show way better, for sure.
Yeah.
Trying to think of, like, what's that? What's basically that killing him, but not?
That's basically, I think, what Jake said.
Yeah, that's essentially it.
You have to have a real effect on their life.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Not just Frankie slapping you across the face.
What if we did a Squid Game round of golf where, like, this is, like, our new game, right? And essentially, we get to call out the word. Now, this is me just rolling off the top of the head, so who knows where this is going to go. But essentially, we get
to
call out.
The only thing you ever do, so it should be fine.
So we all get to call out the word Squid Game when someone's about to do something, right? So, like, let's say you're 150 yards out and I say Squid Game Riggs, you have to hit the green. And then if you don't, you lose that club for the rest of the round. You know what I mean?
I like this.
So, well, like, let's say we call out Squid Game.
On, but that doesn't work if I have, like, a 20-foot putt, then you say Squid Game. I don't accept.
No, you have to. So I think we all get, like, a certain amount of Squid.
I'll lose my putter on the first swing.
Yeah, we're all just going to be coming down the seventh hole with no clubs left.
No, but I think you get a certain amount around, right? So, like, I get two Squid Game calls around. Lurch gets two Squid Game calls around. Riggs gets two Squid Game calls around. Trent. And then we get to strategically pick them when we want, right? Like, so, like, you guys could technically say Squid Game for Lurch on the first putt. But if he makes it, you lose your putter.
Yeah, but
you know what I mean?
It's a 50-footer. I'm just never going to make that putt.
Okay, so then you're just out of putter for the rest of the day, but then they don't have another Squid Game call. I don't know. I'm trying to think of something here.
No, I don't think there's something.
There have to be parameters, though, because the 50-foot putt is a good point.
Like, I like the idea of if they make it, though, you lose yours.
You lose, like, two clubs, or there's, like, odds. Like, if there was, you know, anything outside of 15-footer, 20-footer, like, okay, that's just a two-putt on the greens. It's automatic. And if you don't do that, like, the person that calls you out loses their club. I don't think you're far away. I think, like,
there's something there. Real good.
There is something there. There is something
there. You know,
there.
There's something really there.
We should be wagering your creativity here, not stifling it.
It's wagering clubs being used for the rest of the round. Right. Now, we do have to limit the idea of a 50-foot putt, right? You can make the request impossible, and obviously they're not
going to do it. Yeah, or like a two-footer, or a two-putt from that distance. Or, hey, Frankie, Squid Games, you don't get on the green in regulation, because that's like, you know, you get two shots, you get it on the green. If not, I guess, would you lose two clubs there? Could you wager two? I don't know. That sounds a lot.
Unless you make it,
if you don't
it,
hit driver and then iron on, do you lose both those clubs, or I would lose both those clubs? I do like the idea because there are like grave consequences to like executing on that mission.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just needs to be simple. These games, in order to catch on, these things need to be simple. Like squid gaming somebody at any moment, and then if they don't do the thing, they just lose that club that they were trying to hit. But, you know,
that's
you can
simple.
Give odds to it.
That is
I also
pretty
love,
simple.
I love the communication of it. Like, it's simple, short, and to the point. Like, hey, Frankie, squid games. And it's just like, oh, shit. Like,
it's the biggest shot of the year. Fuck.
Yeah. There's something there.
There's a game in golf that you can play where you can call out something and it like doubles or nothing. I played it with Kyle Rudolph and Brock out in Minnesota where you can like you call out something as the guy's about to step up and now it like doubles down and whatever you guys had. It's like it's that moment of like, oh my god, if I don't do it, like they have no chance of backing out. You have to do it. So like there's some idea there with Squid Game where they can't back out, they can't accept or deny. They just have to do it. Yeah,
I do like the idea that you get one. You only get to use one round because then it's not like, oh, every time you have a 50-foot putt, I can just squid games. It's like you get one call and you better use it. And like the later you wait to use it, then you don't get as much benefit out of it if the guy fucks. So there's some strategy.
What if, it's only in the back nine then? Like what if you can only start – like the squid game starts in the back nine? I don't know. Maybe people can tweet at us.
I think people are going to like the idea and they're going to contribute.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's going to be some ideas rolling.
Oh,
through.
Whenever we come up with a new game like this, everyone has. I've gotten people DMing me lists of rules 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So we'll get them.
I've gotten a lot of DMs about cherries.
Same.
People love cherries.
They do love cherries.
That game, the fruit and the game.
J.R. Smith kicked off his collegiate golf journey. Maybe it's time you start your health journey with Trifecta. You spend 3 hours every weekend playing golf. Probably more. You can spend 2 minutes a day preparing Trifecta. You don't have to suffer to eat healthy. Convenient. You save time rather than having to spend hours and hours meal prepping and cleaning up. Science-backed nutrition. All Trifecta's meals follow scientific nutritional principles. Food quality is Trifecta's priority. Fresher food. It's farm to fork supply chain. Never frozen. It's organic produce. Fully cooked food, so there's no time wasted cooking or cleaning. You just heat and get very healthy. We love Trifecta Nutrition. You guys are going to love them because you can shop meal plans and get 40% off with code 4 at trifectanutrition.com. That is code F-O-R-E. Shop some meal plans, get 40% off with code 4. This show doesn't cook. We're not good at it. If we were even good at it, it takes too long. We're clumsy. We don't have to clean up. We don't have to deal with any of that. And we would like to be a little healthier because we talk a lot about how unhealthy and just generally pathetic as human beings we are from a health and food and consumption standpoint. So Trifecta Nutrition helping us out big time. Great time for you to get started in the right direction. TrifectaNutrition.com. Code 4 gets you 40% off on meal plans.
I was actually grocery shopping last night thinking – what a waste of time this is. I mean, I don't even know where to go. It takes forever. I'm the worst grocery shopper, I think, in the planet. I came back with like celery, coffee, hummus, some chicken breasts, and that might be it. And I was like, I don't even know what I just did. And then I ordered dinner. I was thinking I was going to go out and shop and like make food for myself,
dude.
And just didn't.
Yeah, I never see it
just
through.
Ordered.
No.
I never see it through. I just get bored and quit. And I'm like, this is what I got for the rest of the week. This is what I have now. And it's never the full package. It's always a little bit from this aisle and that aisle. And none of it really adds up to make any sense.
Nothing.
It's a fucking joke.
And then halfway through, I was like, oh, I'm even traveling Wednesday through Friday this week, and then I'm gone this weekend. So anything I buy is just going to go bad anyways. And I should never do this again.
That's the benefit of Trifecta. You don't have to do any of that. You literally don't have to do any of that. You just
shout out to Trifecta.
I can't cook anyway. Can't do any of that shit.
No.
What a great company. TrifectaNutrition.com, code 4, 40% off. Shop meal plans. We had to do a couple inside foreplay updates. Frankie, how's your elbow? Okay.
I don't want to talk about it anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
Is that because do people not like when you talk about it, or do you
probably a little bit of both?
No, has it gotten so bad that you don't want to talk about it?
It's gotten so bad that I don't want to talk about it, and then also I think people don't want to hear about my elbow anymore, and then also I think that it's just not beneficial for me to continuously talk about how much
you worried about the insurance.
Oh, I see what's
well, not even not that. I actually got a lot of DMs being like, "That's just impossible. Like, they can't do that. Like, there's just too big. They're too big a company to like go out. They're not allowed to use like outsourced like outside shit. I don't know." And then I had another.
They're not able to use the words directly from your mouth about how you.
I just don't know that you'd ever be able to like prove it. That's why it didn't work. You know what I mean? Like,
okay. Yeah, there's probably some gray areas there.
There are, but I think there's also like a good faith clause in there and stuff. So, which I mean, I tried to get better. So, if anyone's listening to this, I really did. I want to get better, but yeah, it's just it's definitely healing up. Like I'm able to like do shit now, but it's we're back to square one.
That's
all right.
Numbness.
This doesn't seem like the square that we wanted to be at right now.
Put a fucking needle through my fucking finger, I wouldn't feel it.
All right.
You could just shoot it. Speaking of shooting it, I saw there's a video on Barstool Sports of a spider being shot in Australia and just wearing the bullet and just it keeps going.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I can't watch that.
Those fucking Australian spiders are built different.
I can't watch that.
Just wears it.
How big and scary is a spider? Pretty big and scary?
Big ass spider.
Throw its web at the bullet and then just catch it and
just
ride.
Just
kind of
took it off the chin
the
and just kept going.
Hits the spider. The spider's got to evaporate. Unless it somehow spider webbed the thing and then just rode it kite.
Kind of just wore.
How about
it off
spiders
the
actually build webs to trap other creatures and then they just come back later and
we
eat
ate spiders
them.
Last week.
That.
We ate spiders. We ate tarantulas, hairy ones on Lowering the Bar.
Yeah, we did.
Hairy spiders. Nope. And did you know that he says the next plan is to eat live ones?
Dude, I'll cry. Lowering the Bar, it's a great show. Shout out to Vibs. It's a very fun yet torturous show to do. But like, I had to have Frankie come over and I had to have Vibs physically holding me as I ate the dehydrated tarantula. It's spiders I just don't fuck with, man. Spiders.
What's the chance of like a bad outcome there?
What do you mean?
Just like you eat that and your stomach's just destroyed. And, you know, there's that can't be 100% success rate when you eat a tarantula.
It was the worst one we've done, in my opinion, just because I'm so scared of spiders. And if we start eating great live show. Ones, no thanks, man.
Oh, I haven't watched this video. I think I got clickbaited by MRAGs on Barstool Sports. I think it was a gel gun. I've been watching it since we've been recording, so I didn't have any audio on it. But I think it was one of those little gel guns.
What's a gel gun?
I don't know. That's what he wrote in there. Gel. I tried to sound cool and know what that was.
I don't know what
that is. Let me listen to this with some audio on here. Is there a real gun? Did this fucking...
All right, Frankie's now watching the video that I'm trying not to watch myself. Sounds like a real gun.
I don't know, dude. I don't know what a gel gun is, but he fucking ripped it. It was an automatic, and that spider just kept coming at him.
That is just the worst. People seem to be scared of snakes. That seems to be one of the big ones. Snakes really don't bother me all that much at all. Spider starts crawling up with those fucking legs, man. I'm out of here.
What other inside Barstool stuff were we looking into?
Trent being a heartthrob yet again in a new city and doing it as a surprise and then almost falling off the stage but then holding the luggage up like it was the world championship heavyweight title belt.
One of the funnier things I've ever seen.
Yeah, I went to Philly. The first show was in Boston. We talked a lot about on this show about it. And then I went to Philly not telling Rhea and Fran. Roan and Lil Sass were actually the guests on that show. And Roan came up to me early last week and was like, "You should just come." He was like, "Just come to the show in Philly." Like he saw the pop.
You know the crowd will.
Right. He saw the pop in Boston, and he was like, "I want you to come out in Philly, and I want to see that same pop in person." So didn't tell Rhea and Fran, which I was very nervous about. I was as nervous as I could possibly be. It's their show. I didn't want them to like have something happen that they weren't expecting. But Roan talked me into it, and I showed up at the last possible minute, and it was mayhem. It was fun. We had a good time.
Bro, you barely got up on that stage.
Dude.
Your right quad maxed out?
The stage is obviously a little elevated. And when I came out in Boston, there was stairs that I walked up, to. And there weren't those stairs this time around. So I just had to heave myself up to the stage this time. And I lifted my right leg as far as it could go, planted it on there. And I then was tasked with lifting my entire weight up with the right. And if you watch the video, I just barely get that left foot up on there.
You would have face planted.
You were as close to going backwards as anybody could go.
I think he would have fell forward.
No, I think I would have fallen backwards and I would have killed some poor souls in the front row.
Oh, I would have.
There was like a tipping point where it was like,
I would have paid $25,000 to see that.
You're going.
I would have paid $25,000 to see that. $25,000.
If you watch the video, you can really see the moment where it's 50-50.
And then he drags the luggage up and like barely makes it
in
up.
Time. Yeah,
right. Like if I had seamlessly and gracefully done it, I just would have stepped with my right and brought all the weight over, like you know, like how you step up onto something. Instead, there's a half a second where it's this guy could go down, and yeah, I had the luggage that was full of clothing, and so I had to then bring all that up. It was. Yeah, there was a moment there. I could have ruined the whole show by falling backwards and hurting someone.
Bras thrown at you again?
So they actually threw bras at Lil Sass before I got out there.
So this is just people just tossing pantyhose at people.
And then Lil Sass gave me the bra that was thrown at him.
Does it feel like the original bra throwing has been diminished now? They're just throwing bras at anybody?
No, I like that we have created an atmosphere where if you want to throw a bra, you can throw a bra.
I like that too. That's a nice world to live in.
It's just like, hey, we're at the Chicks in the Office live show. If I want to take my bra off and throw it on stage, I can.
That's something that should stick. That's a nice thing that's going on there.
Not I agree bad. With that.
It's not the worst thing. It's not like dudes aren't taking off their Tommy Johns and tossing them at you.
No.
It's nice.
It was nuts, though. The Philly show, I think there were Lurch, at the one you went to, there were like 150 people. I think there were 300 at this one. So it was just.
So now are you locked into all these shows now? Can you imagine one of these shows starting?
It's a no, but yes. Trent's going to say no right now, but like that show needs the pop.
How
it's
can
a
you do
crazy
that
atmosphere when
to the people
comes
that go
out
in the future?
It's TBD.
Wow.
I like that. That's a good answer.
He's a traveling pop connoisseur. You know, you're just
you have a
bachelor's degree in pop.
Oh, bachelor's
you really
degree.
Have the best. You have the best role of anybody in the show because you don't have to really do anything. You go all the way there. You show up for 2 seconds. Everybody goes crazy, and then your commitment's over, right? Like you're not even up there for that long.
Yeah, and even in Philly, it was even shorter. In Boston, I came out for the last 20.
You were there for a half hour or something.
Yeah, in Philly, because you do the Q&A, and that takes about 20 to 25 minutes. In Philly, I was out there for 10 minutes.
But
Briggs
is right. Like, your job is to be seen. The place goes bonkers when they see you. All you really have to do is make it on stage, which was easy in Boston, but 50-50.
Not a lock.
Not a lock. There should be live odds on if Trent can get on the stage. Like, that would be.
The only reason I got up there was because of adrenaline. Just because, like, if that had just been a normal step, I fall.
What do you think about the, how lucky do you feel that your shirt stayed tucked in when you lifted up the luggage?
Probably the luckiest I've ever been in my entire life. And I always tuck my shirt in. My shirt's tucked in right now. But if just for some reason I hadn't tucked the shirt in, that photo that I really do love is ruined.
Yeah.
Because then it's just my belly. It's my pasty white belly hanging out as I'm lifting up the luggage. I am very happy that the shirt stayed tucked.
He's stolen the idea.
People's eyes would not go to your face in the luggage in pure excitement. Their eyes would go to the tire around your
waist. Turn to shriek.
Right.
Squeals to shrieks.
Bras are not flying at the stage, and then that belly started to pop.
Trent,
you always
weird,
go
though, when
you
your
tuck
leg,
in t-shirt always.
Always, yeah.
I actually think that's a weird move, but it definitely helps.
That's a T-daddy.
I don't give a fuck what you think because it works.
Oh, shit.
I'm telling you, I do that for that reason because I have a belly. And it's like, if I raise my arms up, there's a chance that it shows something that I don't want people to see.
But then, like, the idea of having it tucked in shows everyone that you're hiding something that you don't want them to see.
But that's a better alternative.
Definitely. But it's almost a little bit like, now it's like, well, what's under there? Because I've never seen someone, do that. You know what I mean? Like, you're immediately like, well, now what is he hiding? Because, like, usually
you
wear a t-shirt. Right. It definitely sparked more. I want to know what's under there now, than opposed to just like seeing, oh, it's a belly. You know what I mean?
But
like, I don't know if there may be like a ghoul under there or something.
But the reaction I'm happy is, wow, why does he tuck his undershirt? As opposed to, holy shit, look at that belly.
Okay. We have an event on. I don't even know. Never mind. I don't even know what has been announced yet. I was going to say there may be some pops at the end of the week for other people, but I don't know if it's happening.
Okay.
Not sure. Okay, we're going to sit on that?
If it doesn't, I'm going to be upset. I'm going to be upset.
Yeah, real upset. Danielle Kang. So Thursday night, the People's Women's Golfer, one of our favorite folks in all of golf. She's hilarious. She likes to chirp. She slings the shit-talking around as well as anybody. We went to Vegas not that long ago, a few weeks ago, and we played her in a four-man scramble. So the four-man scramble has really been on the sidelines for a while. It's tough to schedule these matches with professional golfers in season when they're playing professional golf all over the world. But we were able to sync up with Danielle Kang next to Cisco, and we play her in a four-man scramble in Las Vegas. So four men against Danielle Kang. She picked the tees on every hole. We played at Royal Links. Is that what it was called in Vegas?
Ooh, that sounds right. Yeah.
It was at the end of a, you know, week long trip for us where we were in Oregon and we were playing in 40 mile an hour winds, and it was just, which is fun and great, but it's, you know, a long week. You're on the road for a week, 10 days straight, whatever it was. So by the time we got to Vegas, we didn't know what fucking course we were at, what state we were in, what was going on. But we did get it together and played a match against Danielle Kang. So Thursday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, I believe will be the timing. Maybe we'll go at 7, depending on what's going on in the hashtag sports world that night. But Danielle Kang, four-man scramble, will be on YouTube.
Royal Links Golf Club. That's correct.
Cool castle-like clubhouse they had.
Really cool.
Very.
Very.
Cool, of course.
Yeah. Very like Disney-esque where everything was themed. You know what I mean? You
also, they had that huge open championship scoreboard. You remember that? That just right in the middle of the golf course? But
I
actually don't
remember seeing that on the course. I remember just seeing it looking out at the course. I don't remember what hole we passed that.
Was that on 10?
I think it was between 10 and 18. It was just kind of sitting there. Worthless in a way, but just like, okay, yeah, I get it.
That's
but like to your point, like very Disney's theme. Yeah, I mean, that's all it really was. It's like you're not hosting a championship.
Wow. Paul McCartney to induct the Foo Fighters into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That is some fucking breaking news. That is awesome. How cool is that?
Foo Fighters.
Just Paul Fighters. The inspiration of Dave Grohl, Paul McCartney, just fucking inducting him, his disciple, into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That's as good as it gets right there, man. That's awesome.
Congratulations, Frankie.
Yeah, really good audio book or any book. You can read. You can get the hard copy is Dave Grohl's new book. The Storyteller tells unreal stories of all the things that he's done being fucking Dave Grohl. He tells an amazing
story. Why don't we get
story.
Him on the show? Why don't we get him on the show,
fucking
Frankie?
Awesome.
Frankie would be rock hard.
We'd also have to bring Robbie Fox on
right.
here.
I would just let him take my seat. Robbie would never forgive me if I didn't have
no,
him.
No, and I would never do it without him. Yeah. It's impossible. Yeah, he tells this amazing story about going to George Harrison's like reunion or his memorial concert in London, and like being a fan, like waiting online, like George Harrison's son like gave him the tickets, and like the way he describes like getting in his seat and like tears rushing down his face when they started playing certain songs, like being a fan and like being nervous to like, does he have a backstage pass? Like, this is Dave Grohl. Like, he was like, oh, like what kind of backstage access am I gonna get? Am I gonna be in like the shitty room or the real room? Because he knows that when you give backstage passes, there's like two rooms for Foo Fighters. There's like a room that like, all right, like the backstage VIP goes, and then there's like a room for the family that goes. And he was like, oh, I turned the corner and I noticed I was in like the shitty VIP room. And he's like, all right, it was a great night. And then all of a sudden, Paul McCartney walked in and Tom Petty walked in. And he was just like, oh, my God. The Storyteller, it's a great book. I'm starting to read it. Go do it.
I was going to say, so I like the Foo Fighters, certainly not as much as you and Robbie do. I listen to the hits. But they have a documentary on Netflix called Back and Forth. Might be the best music documentary I've ever seen. It's a good way to get into the Foo Fighters and learn a lot about them. Dave Grohl is obviously a fascinating guy, but watch Back and Forth. You will not regret it. It talks about Nirvana, Kurt Cobain, the whole deal. Very cool.
Where can I find Back and Forth?
Netflix.
Is this still on Netflix?
Ooh, I don't know. That's where I watched it. Highly recommend. Even if you're not like a Foo Fighters fan, because I wasn't when I watched it.
It may not be on Netflix anymore. Maybe. Yeah, it says it's available on YouTube for $3.99, Apple TV. I think it's off of Netflix now.
However you can get it and watch
just get it,
do it. Because like I said, you don't have to be a Foo Fighters fan to watch it. It's just a good music documentary.
Peter Millar. So I'm rocking a Peter Millar. Me and Lurch are basically wearing the exact same Peter Millar Q-Zip right now, the Perth Q-Zip, which is just a classic. He's got the Barstool Golf. I got a little Pinehurst Country Club. But the Pinehurst layers, okay, your quarter zips, your hoodies, your vests, your crew necks, the best apparel on planet Earth. Now that we're into fall golf, I'm seeing all kinds of people sending pictures of us of leaves changing. We got orange fucking leaves out there. We got red. We got a great combination of all the good stuff. Now that it's fall, it's Halloween's approaching quickly. That little chill in the air. We got footballs all over the place. You got to have layers. You got to have quarter zips. You got to have hoodies. We all bought hoodies and we were at Bandon Dunes because they make such a good hoodie. What's that one called that you guys love so much?
Lava Wash.
Lava Wash. They've revolutionized performance fabrics to provide lightweight layers that provide the exact amount of warmth you need and are designed to move with you whether you are on or off the course. Go to petermillard.com/foreplay. Explore the Crown Sport outerwear and the full range of Peter Millar apparel outside of the pullovers and such. Their pants, their EB66 five pocket pants, my favorite pants. Wear those puppies all the time. Their shorts are great if you catch a few more warm days throughout the year, no matter where you live. Their polos, everything's great that Peter Millar does. So a big thanks to them. And again, go check out petermillard.com/foreplay. We got some Peter Millar gear on our website, but there's all kinds of good stuff that you can get. So big shout out to Peter Millar.
You guys big Batman fans?
I like Batman.
Yeah, I wouldn't say huge fan, but I'll watch every Batman that comes out.
Like, who's your favorite superhero? Trent?
Jesus.
Fuck.
Jesus. From shit, the man. Clouds. Frankie, I feel like he's got us all pinned down and
to be so tight.
Squid Game's favorite superhero.
I don't have an answer, but I want to say that I love those worlds. I love Marvel, and I love The Dark Knight. I love all that trilogy. But like, I'm not so in it that I'm like committed to one superhero.
Okay.
If there was one superhero that I liked the most, it'd probably be Iron Man.
See, that's where I kind of am. Like, I'm agreed. I don't have like a diehard. I don't know all the comic books. I don't know all the backstories.
Right, like,
when I see a certain character on the screen, I get up more for one than the other, and that's Batman.
Right, like, I'm almost embarrassed to give an answer, really? Because I lived with Robbie Fox for almost 4 years, and that guy, like, he knows. He knows what he likes. He knows who's his favorite.
He's got a Batman tattoo.
He's got a Batman tattoo. So for
does
me
he
to,
really?
Sick. He does, yeah. It's cool. And so for me
and
to
he
even...
Has a cool. He has a Dave Grohl tattoo, too.
He's got an Oasis tattoo. He's got
fucking
a lot of
awesome.
Tattoos.
He's got the feather. It's sick.
So I feel like claiming that I have a favorite superhero isn't, like, an actual claim.
Riggs?
I'm going to say Iron Man because Iron Man 2 I just find to be such a good movie. I think his character in that is so awesome. He's funny. Mm-hmm. He's rich. He's intriguing. I think that, but that's not, that's like so separate from the actual comic world. Like, I bet the comic book people would be like, go fuck yourself. That has nothing to do with it.
I don't
so,
think so. Sick song too.
Yeah, those movies, the Iron Man movies are awesome. Like, Batman's pretty good, but I mean, who wouldn't love to have the Iron Man suit?
So you guys going three Iron Mans here? Holy smokes.
What's the problem with that? I mean, the first Iron Man.
He's got to be like the least superhero-y person ever.
See, this is true. See, I didn't know I was going to walk in again.
Batman, yeah, Iron Man and Batman are basically synonymous.
I guess they're the same. Yeah, they're both two rich guys.
I guess so.
This is why I almost didn't want to say it, because then I was going to get judged.
You're not getting judged. No, you're not getting judged. Like, just, I guess... Me presenting the question, who is our favorite superheroes, to get three Iron Mans and one Batman.
I would say, though, the Batman one is a little childish. Like, he's this rich guy who turns into a bat. I mean, at least, like, Superman is, like,
I don't know if I'm behind that argument.
All right, but Iron Man, he just puts on a badass suit. He doesn't go around claiming, like, I'm a fucking
Batman
Phoenix.
Suit.
Like,
the Batman just, suit's fucking badass.
Right, but he themes it. He, like, themes it, which is weird. Like, why is he deciding?
This right here
it?
Is why comic books prevail. Because everybody just argues about who their favorite one is, and they get excited when the movies come out.
Well, they got the new Batman coming out in 2022, and the trailer dropped yesterday. And it's just like, you watch that trailer and tell me that guy's not the coolest fucking dude of all time.
How many views do you think that trailer already has on YouTube? I looked it up earlier.
Oh, my God. It's got to be over a million.
Came out a day ago. It came out yesterday. How many views do you think it has? I'm going to look at an updated number because I looked before.
I mean, you're saying it's like...
Whoa, I'm looking at it now. I typed
all right,
before.
So... Six million views in one day? I mean,
I'll share the view count. Guess based on what
you
saw
I already know. I know.
Six million?
19 million.
Oh, my God.
There might be a little bit of hype for that movie. 19 million views on YouTube in a day.
The Spider-Man one that came out like a month ago, it hit like, it's at 71 million on YouTube in a month, and it was like the highest viewed one on the internet.
See, Spider-Man's another good one. Like, there's just something about these cool suits, man. Batman, that story, it's dark. He has a dark lifestyle. His parents were murdered, and like the Joker, just that whole world. Now they have the Riddler in it, and they're going to have the Penguin in this next one. It's like, that's so fucking
cool. I do like the Penguin.
The Penguin, the Riddler, the Joker, Batman, the Cape, world. The fucking, and now they also have, what's his name?
Michael Keaton.
Michael Keaton's coming back playing the, like he was one of the, not the original, obviously, that was back in the day, but he played Batman, and now he's coming back to play Batman in the Flash movie. It looks awesome. Anyway, I don't know.
I like all the superheroes. If you pinned me down into you cornered me and you made me make an argument, so I was arguing that I kind of like Iron Man.
The more that I think about it, I might be a Thor guy.
Wow.
Yeah,
I like Thor a lot too.
You look like a Thor guy.
He's got humor.
Yeah, he's funny.
He can fucking bring the thunder, bro.
I love that. I love that hammer.
Yeah, you do.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you do.
I will say, Batman isn't funny. That's true. He's not really very funny. He's
very serious.
But then he's so serious. He's so serious that you ever watched the Lego movie, the Batman, the Lego Batman movie? Dude, it's unbelievable. Da-na-na-na-na-na. Dude, yo. Honestly, if there's any recommendation, if you're ever fucking probably high or you just want a dumb laugh, turn on the Lego Batman movie. It is so fucking funny. I don't know if I've laughed harder at a cartoon in my entire life.
Did you not get much human interaction this weekend?
What did I do this weekend? No, I got a decent amount of human
interaction. Feels like you're just wanting to talk about everything.
Yeah, you know. Podcast. I like to talk.
I like that you're talking
true,
about
beforehand,
it.
Now, I've beforehand, never though, we went deep in like Succession, and you needed to tell people about everything you experienced over the last two
weeks. Right. Out of every ad break, you've been like, you've seen Squid Games? Another ad. You've seen the Batman trailer? Yeah. You've seen Succession? It's just like, I'm down to talk about all this stuff.
Yeah, you're having a water cooler. You're having a water cooler conversation with us on the podcast.
It's a Monday, man.
Right? It's true.
Got the golf talk out of the way.
Out of the way.
Anything else? Anything else on the brain?
I don't know, man. No, not yet.
Okay.
No, that's it.
All right. The Kisner match. People can watch the Kisner round of golf that we played as well. That went up. Shout out to Jake and Brendan and Avery and everybody filming that puppy. But Kiz always puts asses in the seat. He's always amazing, and he was that day as well when he and I played in the Barstool Classic. So if you haven't checked that out, go to YouTube, 4PlayGolf. Whip that shit up, put it on your screen, watch
it. It's already at 200K.
Holy shit, I was going to say, people are watching that video. You're one of the few.
Yeah, it's a lot.
God damn.
It's a lot for a day. Or how long has it been? A
couple.
3 days?
204,000 views. That's, everybody should watch it. It's a great video. Really good.
The guy just brings it. He's hilarious. He's Kisner. Everybody loves it. His mortgage line was one of the funnier lines I think I've ever heard when... he's like, what is it, cross-country? He goes, I don't know. I don't have any mortgages. That was just really good. So,
yeah, he's good. He's very good.
Quad Wednesday is real. Oh, shout out before we're closing things up. If you're going to rent an excavator and dig on your property, make sure you get the lines drawn from road to house. This past weekend, I dug up a gas line. Real issue.
Wow.
Gas just going. So we had to call the natural gas company. They showed up maybe 1 a.m. We were up till 4 a.m. getting the gas line repaired. So if you're going to do a home project, I was out here helping my brother. Fun project, getting in that kind of like dozer and picking up stumps and whatnot. Know where your electrical and your gas lines is. It's free. You can just ask the town, hey, I need my property drawn or whatever. And they'll tell you where those lines are. Really important not to pop those.
So you were just ripping through the ground without checking anything?
Spot on.
Amazing.
This guy dropped off.
A really shitty moment when you broke that fucking line.
Well, we didn't even really know until that night. I stayed over at my brother's and we were cooking dinner and the stove and oven didn't work. And we're like, weird. And they were like, what transpired from last night to tonight? Oh, that's right. We had that huge like bulldozer with this huge like scoop crane on it. And we were just ripping up stumps and taking out pretty much this whole section of his yard. And I took one look out there, saw a line that was ripped. It was hollow. I was like, that's got to be the gas line. And then it was an emergency. So, anyways,
the smell
just
like
an FYI. Like the rest of the neighborhood or anything?
No. So it basically, what there's an FVE, basically a restrictor valve on it. So if it does pop and it feels like it's a different amount of pressure spewing out of it, it'll actually reduce the amount of gas going out the pipe. And so, you know, it's an issue. You don't want to light a match by it type deal. but you want to get that solved. So, no, we didn't look into it at all. We literally just got the dozer going.
Fucking add gas to it.
Got to call before you dig. That's something that was ingrained in my head. And I never did any sort of work like that. But there would always be signs over on every yard being like, call before you dig. That's what
you
got to do.
We were taking it. So we got two trees removed, big stumps. I was digging circles around these trees, big ones, to try to get under the stump.
Doesn't that thing feel like a video game, the joystick? Isn't it so much fun, the excavator?
It is so much fun.
And you get good at it, right?
Once you get good, yeah, because it's basically two joysticks, and then you got a forward and back on your feet, and then you've got basically like kind of a thumb control as well to rotate the crane, open it up, close it, do whatever. But yeah, once you get the hang of it, man, you could destroy your property. And that's pretty much what I did along with the gas line. So it is like when you Google it, they're like, call 911 immediately or the gas company to fix it. So that's just a, you know, an FYI, kind of a PSA for everybody out there. Smart. I was not informed of, hey, you know, check before you dig, and that's definitely a good thing to do. So
foreplay, you know, you might get you might get like superhero breakdowns. You might get told that you shouldn't drive in front of a train. You might get told that you shouldn't just rip up your fucking yard and break gas lines in half. So, you know, we're here to help people, Lurch.
Spot on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyone else have anything?
No, I think I'm done.
I don't think I have anything else. No,
really.
Do you think I have something?
I don't know. You got nothing else in your brain?
No. Finished Ted Lasso. That was the only thing I did this weekend.
Yeah.
That's a really good show. Really good.
TV to catch up on. I haven't seen the end of that. Squid Game, Succession's out. I haven't seen any of those yet.
Yikes. I think I'm going back to that place, Woodlock, for Halloween weekend.
Are you?
Because it gets spooky up there. And there's a haunted walk, and you just walk through those fucking scary ass forests, and they just say like, "We'll see you later." There's some things out there, and we'll see you back.
We used to do haunted corn mazes. Oof. Haunted corn mazes are scary.
That
shit,
feeling,
man,
of like, oh, I'm gonna fucking die out here, man, that's awesome. That's an awesome.
I've seen a couple videos online now that have like freaked me out with regards to spirits and just stuff happening around me that like. Like, they burned a haunting house. I don't know if anybody saw that video that was all over the internet that, like, looked like spirits are escaping when they're burning this haunted house. And
holy smokes.
I don't know, man.
Bro, there's a place in New York City. I think it was called, like, Blood Manor, I think. It's like the most expensive haunted walk that you could possibly find. Like, they had – and I could be wrong on this for people that went, but there's all these rumors that, like – it's so scary that, like, if you got through it, you'd get your money back, essentially, right? Like, most people would say, like, no, I don't want to finish this.
They, like, you tap out or you hit the button, like, you're like, I'm not going on anymore?
Because, like, they split you up from your group in a lot of the walks, and now you're just, like, by yourself. Like,
I'm jumpy, too. Yeah. Like, I get scared.
God, dude.
I don't do well. Like, my buddies love to come up and scare me because I'll jump quick.
This was from a rundown a long time ago. One of the funniest conversations they had on a Barstool rundown was they came up with the idea that once every Halloween season, a haunted house should be able to kill one person that goes in there. So you add that element of it where they get to kill one person each season. So that adds another layer to it. Like, am I going to be the one person? Could be you. I don't know if I could do haunted houses and stuff like that anymore. That stuff is just a lot.
Dude, I know. I'm going to be super jumpy. It's scary shit. Like, just being scared is not a fun feeling. It's not. But it is. But, like, who the hell was that? Being scared. The idea of being scared, to me, makes no sense. But once I am getting scared, it's, like, fun. Especially if I'm, like, at an event. I don't like scary movies where I'm sitting in a chair and I'm being forced to watch a fucking movie.
Yeah.
I don't like that. Because I don't know what's coming. At least, like, I can run when I'm on, like, a walk. When I'm, like, physically doing it, I can sprint away. Which I would.
But when you're watching a scary movie, you could just get up and leave.
Yeah, I guess so. I've had some bad experiences where I just like didn't want to see scary movies, and like you're with your friends and then you can't let them know that you have that weakness, and like you've sat through it, and I just
oh, I would tell Robbie Fox all the time. Again, when I lived with him, he would always want to watch scary movies, and I would just say no. And then he'd be like, oh, this one is a thriller, and it would be a lie, and it'd be a horror movie, and I'd just be in it.
Yeah, you're just in it, man. Ugh, you're absolutely awful. In it.
So yeah. Scary.
I don't like that stuff. I don't like to be scared.
I got nothing else for you guys.
All right.
All right. Well, we'll be back on Thursday, so since nobody's got anything in their brain, hit it hard.
Hit it hard.
Hit it hard.
Hit it hard.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.